praise you, and we give you the glory, Lord. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Page, if you go on your page, I have the apostolic duties up on that page, so it's on the PDF. You can print them off and you can look at them, and I won't test you on this one, but you do need to go over them and look at them and study each one of them and see. I got some scriptures with most of them. So tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to do at least five more of those apostolic duties. We went through five of them. I normally start from the first one, and then I just call the first one, and then I cover the next five of them. The duties executed by an apostle, because I'm specifically specifying, because we are now in an apostolic ministry, and I want everybody to understand that, and I want you to keep focus on that. And what the apostolic is doing is bringing us back to God's government, where the we can see signs, wonders, and miracles, and operate in the supernatural. So, number one duty of an apostle is he gathers. Number two, he imparts. Number three, to mobilize. Number four is to order. Number five is to judge. Number six is to reform. Number seven is to build. Number eight, to bring revelation. Number nine, to father. And number 10 is to lay a foundation. And so now we go to from number 11 through 15. Like I said, it's a total. I have 26 of them that's listed. And you can go over them yourself, but I like to cover them. Number 11 is to initiate. Apostles initiate new moves of God. The apostolic anointing is an activating anointing. Apostles are catalysts. This gift released the other gifts in the church. And so if it's a catalyst, it helps us the other gifts to get started in what they are doing. Number 12 is to bridge. Apostles are raised up during seasons of transition. They provide bridges necessary for the church to transition from the old to the new. And that's what's happening right now. We're transitioning from the old way of doing things to God's new way of doing things. That's the way apostolic government is in place. Number 13 is to establish. Apostles help establish truth, revelation, churches, and new moves of the Spirit. To establish means to bring into being on a firm or permanent basis. Let me reread that so you can get it again. Apostles establish. Apostles help establish truth, revelation, churches, and new moves of the Spirit to establish means to bring into being on a firm and permanent basis. Number 14, apostles, another duty is to pioneer. Apostles are pioneers. They keep the church moving into new territories, both naturally and spiritually. Many times the apostles are doing things that the body of Christ don't quite understand, but they are pioneering things. They're going in areas that has not been gone in before, and most people don't quite understand what's happening, but that's God has called them to do that, and since he called them to do it, they have to do what God tells them to do. And number 15 is the apostles legislate. As officers of the church, apostles legislate. They issue orders and kingdom decrees for the church. They issue orders and kingdom decrees for the church. Our scripture definition, Apostle Paul, I studied behind Apostle Paul quite a bit in all of his epistles and when he's ministering. Turn over to the book of Acts. Chapter 26. And I'm going to read something in chapter 26, beginning at verse 14. Then we'll get into our lesson. In Acts chapter 26, beginning at chapter 14, this is Apostle Paul going in front of the king, and he's explaining, King Agrippa, and he's explaining to him why Jesus called him and sent him out to do what he needed to do. And so here in Acts 26 and 14, this was his primary duty from the realm of the spirit. He said, and when we were all fallen to the earth, that's where after Paul had been walking along the road and he had fallen off his horse, been knocked off horse by a great light. And he got up. He said, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue. He said, Saul, Saul. That was even before he was his name was changed from Saul to Paul. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, that was Paul, who art thou? He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. And Jesus began to give him his commission right here. He said, but rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and all those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and to whom now I send thee. So most time when God give us a commission, and before we can go out, we have to actually be sent out by God. In most cases, an apostle. And what's happening in the body of Christ today, many times we went before we are sent. And because we went before we be sent, then the things that, it's sort of like the blind leading the blind. And if the blind are leading the blind, guess what's going to happen? Everybody is going to fall in the ditch together. So we have to understand Jesus himself was sent. He was sent by his father to do a certain thing. The Holy Spirit also was sent. And so when someone goes out and do anything for the kingdom, they have to be sent. And so, you just don't go up and go. And I always say go and went on your own. And so he goes on to say, he said, but rise and stand. Verse 16, he said, but rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You know, we're getting an awesome message on the light right now. And so he said, from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was Jesus speaking to Paul, and he was giving him his assignment, what he had to do to go out and do. And so and when he got his assignment, he didn't just go out and run. He got assignment, he got a word from God, but he had to be trained also to go out and do that assignment that God called him to do. So it took him approximately 14 years out in that Arabian desert seeking God for what he wanted him to do. He gave him the word. And when he gave him the word, he said, well, God gave me an assignment, but I don't know how to do this assignment. And so he went out and he got full revelation of what God wanted to do. And then he came back. And when he came back and he could say some things to the other apostles who didn't quite understand everything that he understood. And that's why God gave him an assignment to write the epistles, write the basic doctrines of the church. And all these he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because God himself had given him revelation on the doctrine of the church. So that's why we can go back again and say, because, basically in Ephesians 2:20, where it says, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So basically, the apostles had to come in and take up from what Jesus left off and bring that to the church so they could do in Ephesians 4:11. You know what they came to, those fivefold ministry gifts came to do? It came to mature the saints, perfect the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we go on down until we all come into the fullness of the stature of our foundation, of the rock himself, fullness of the stature of who Jesus himself was. So when he came back out of that assignment that he gave, and he understood some things, and we have to understand, this is all spiritual. This is a realm of the spirit. This is a different realm. It's not a natural realm. And so when he came back, he could minister to various churches and various organizations. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And this, you know, once he understood what he had to do, then he came back. He was talking different. He wasn't talking like he was, because the Apostle Paul, you know, he had a zeal for God. And when they came along, when the Christians came along, he was out persecuting the church. He was actually getting orders to go out and kill all Christians that was going, they call it the way. So every Christian that he came up on, he began to kill them. But then once Jesus, in the book of Acts, where he knocked him off his horse in Acts 8, you can see it over there, and you can see what happened to him, and he got his assignment. So when he came back, And he came back and he began to talk. This is Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is what he said. And he began to talk. I read a little bit from the scripture here. He's saying, and I, brethren, when I came to you, he said, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he became more like a bond servant for Jesus, for the kingdom itself. And so he said, I don't know nothing of myself. Only thing I know, I determined not to know anything but among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then he went on to talk to the church, the Corinthian church there. And he said, in verse 3, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power. So what we got to think about in this kingdom that we're operating in, two words I want you to think about. I want you to think about authority, and I want you to think about power. There's always authority that we have to come under. We come under authority, but God has also given us power to operate in the kingdom. And so that was one of the things that Jesus had told his disciples when he got ready to leave. He said, you know, don't y'all leave here until y'all receive the promise of my Father. But then he told them they're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. He said, you're going to get that power. And so in the kingdom, there's a power that we operate in the kingdom. But we operate it through the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, he said that your faith should not, in my speech, my preaching, verse 4, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We've gotten to the place that we look unto men and think they're the ones who got the authority and got the power. But it's God. God has all the power. So our sole focus, Jesus came to bring us back to the Father where he was. So we should always go back and look at the Father and see what he's saying. There's always the apostles are hearing from heaven, and they are hearing what heaven wants. But in everything they're doing, they're pointing us back to the Father. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then verse 9 and verse 10, I'm going to read those and then we go on and get into some of our lesson for tonight. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there's the natural part. You can't see it with your natural eyes. You can't hear it with your natural ears. And then he's going to tell us how we receive. So everything in the kingdom, everything that we receive from God has to be revealed to us. We who go to school, we go get a lot of education, and we think we can receive God in our head. That's why it's hard for a person who have higher learning to receive the things of God. After they've been to school for a while, it's hard for them to believe the things that God has said because it has to be revealed to them. Even myself, when I used to try to read the Bible, I try to understand it in my own understanding, but you cannot understand it with your natural mind. It has to be revealed to you. If the Spirit of God don't reveal it to you, you're still in darkness. And so it goes on to say, verse 10, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. See that big S there? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so he said, a mistress, but we who are in the kingdom, we who are citizens, which we do know that we are citizens, it said, you're no more foreigners and strangers, Ephesians 2:19, but fellow citizens of the house. So we are citizens of the kingdom. We have to know that we are citizens of the kingdom. We have rights in this kingdom. We have an inheritance in this kingdom, and we have to know that. He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He said, in my natural man, I cannot know God, but I can know him in my spirit. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And verse 14, you need to see this, see it very clearly. It said, but the natural man, we're operating in our natural senses. It said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, everything, again, it has to be revealed to you by the Spirit of God. If you think you're going to learn this, these things of God by sitting here reading scripture, memorizing scripture, then what's going to happen? You're going to still be in darkness because the Spirit of God have to reveal it to you. You have to be here. He's the one who have to show it to you. He's the one who inspired holy men of God to write the scriptures. So he have to reveal these things to you. So I want to set you up to let you know that, get your thinking, change the way we look at things, change the way we are thinking about it. And even though we study scriptures, even though we meditate them, it's still up to the Holy Spirit to reveal what he's saying to us and bring us out of darkness into light about those situations. I heard a statement yesterday, the first time I heard it, the apostle was ministering and he said, when you read scripture, find out what that scripture is saying to you. The whole Bible is about showing you who you are. It talks about God, but it's showing you who you are. And so when you read scripture, find out what it was just like when Jesus himself came out of that wilderness. And when he came out of the wilderness he went over in the book of Isaiah and he began to read in the book of Isaiah. And when he found out what his ministry was, Isaiah 61, and he came back, he talks about it in Luke 4:18. And he said he found himself in the scripture. Turn over there. I need to show you because the Holy Ghost is teaching me that. He says, turn to Isaiah 61 first. And so when he said that was a whole new, it brought a light on many subjects that I was in total darkness. So that's part of what the apostle does, bring light to the situation. Remember Mark 4 tell us that he said, it is for us who are in the kingdom, we who are citizens of the kingdom, that know the mysteries of the kingdom. And we're not just going to know it just by studying or reading the scripture, but it's going to have, again, it's going to have to be revealed to us. So if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, and this is where Jesus found himself in the scripture. You know, the scriptures were speaking directly to him at this point. Here in Isaiah 6:1, this is the prophet had already prophesied this. And what he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Turn to Luke 4:18. And again, this is what Jesus, after he had been off in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he went off in there after he got filled with the Spirit of God, God that came up on him, he came up out of the water. And when he came up out, you know, the heavens was open. And when the heavens was open, the Father spoke to him and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And it said he was led off into the wilderness by the Spirit. And while he was off in the wilderness, Satan came in and tempted him. And when he tempted him, and, you know, he told him, if you be the Son of God, he told him to turn these stones into bread. And Jesus gave him that awesome word. And the first time he said, "A man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." The word is coming out of the mouth of God, but it has to be revealed to us. It has to be revealed when it comes to him. So now when he came out of that wilderness, and here in Luke 4:18, it's a, in verse 17, it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophets, Isaiah." That's what I just read. "And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written." He found himself in the scriptures is basically what he did. And when he found himself in the scriptures, he gave out and he put it out in there for him. He spoke it out of his mouth what God had revealed unto him. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And we know Jesus said, "I came down from heaven." In John 6:38, he said, "I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And so when he sent him, that's what he sent him to do. He said, and 1 John 3:8, he said, "And Jesus was manifested in the earth that he might destroy the works of the devil." And so these are the things that the devil manifests on individuals. So when he came down, if he began to preach those things to him and teach those things to him, then they can come out of these situations. He said, because the Spirit of God, because God had anointed him to do those things. And so same thing, just like Jesus was anointed, we also have been anointed by God. He's given us that anointing. We can do the same thing. 1 John 2:20. He said, "You have received an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." 1 John 2:27, which be our meditation scripture for this week. 1 John 2:27, since he brought it up, we'll go over there and look at it. And then, like I said, I need to give you some notes from the book so I can, y'all can say, he did cover some things from the book. And so here in 1 John 2:20, it says here, he said, "But you have received an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." That's an anointing. You're in the kingdom. You're kingdom citizens. And because you are a kingdom citizen, God has given you his ability to operate in the kingdom. And in this case, it's called an unction. It's an anointing from Almighty God. It's the power of God to carry out the assignment that he has given unto you. And verse 27 explains it. It says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abided in you." And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie. Even as it had taught you, you should abide in him. So it isn't saying that you don't need someone to show you or point you out in direction. It tells you that the Holy Spirit is the actual teacher. They are instructors that you're receiving. They are actually pointers, and they point you in direction that you need to go. And when they point you in those directions, then you allow the Spirit of God to come in and teach you what he is actually saying to you. I can't teach you anything, but the Holy Spirit can teach you all things. And that's what that anointing is for. So you're sitting here, you say, I want to be taught. So you got the anointing in you. But the Holy Spirit, we're going to point it out to you. We're going to show it to you. Then the Holy Spirit is going to come in and teach you what you need to know. He's going to bring you out of darkness into that marvelous light. Amen. So let's go back to some notes from our lesson here. It runs so fast. I mean, lesson chapter 1, chapter 2. And chapter 2 in your little booklet, it says the funnel from heaven. And it's the fall from heaven is, that means that there's something being poured out into something else. And so it's poured from heaven into an individual, and so that it can be imparted to the body of Christ. So we're talking about the culture of honor here. We know our basic scripture in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. You can go back and look at those. We know our basic scripture in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. We can go back and look at those. We know our basic scripture in Ephesians 4 and 11. We can go back from 4:11 to about 15, 16. We can go back and look at those. It says the culture of honor is set up to follow God's government. That's what this culture is about. It's about following God's government, God's supernatural ability, so we can carry it out and bring it into the earth realm. So God's kingdom can be manifested in the earth realm. When Jesus began to teach, that's what he began to teach. And if you go through the Gospels, he was always teaching about the kingdom and what you have as being part of the kingdom of God. Culture is that which distinguishes life in one group from life in another group. So if I would say, African-American culture, you would think of one thing. If I would talk about Jamaican culture, you would think about something else. So it's a distinguishing culture from one group to another. So we're in a different group. We're in the kingdom of God culture. We're not in a worldly culture. And so since we are not in a worldly culture, we have to know what our culture is and what we need to do in that culture. So again, I tell you to think about authority and think about power. In our culture, God has given us authority. He's given us authority over the enemy and anything that the enemy can just throw at us. And he's also given us power over anything the enemy can throw at us. The church has a culture, and the world has its culture. The world system is going through turmoil right now. But the kingdom of God should be in total peace, because that's what Jesus came to bring. He said, that peace of his peace there should be no end. Every citizen of the kingdom should be operating in peace. Even if you walk into chaos, you should be able to bring that peace that's on the inside of you, that's abiding in you, with you wherever you go. It's for you. And it operates and it works every time. Turn to Romans chapter 12, and let's see it over here, so we can always have a foundation to stand on here. And I'm gonna just read one verse in Romans chapter 12. I'm looking at verse 2. And here it is again. And so, like I say, Word of God, Apostle Paul himself, bringing doctrine to the church. It says, and be not conformed to this world, or this world system, or the way the world do things. Don't conform yourself to it. Many of us who are in the body of Christ, we have conformed to what the world system does, and we do it. So many of us who are in the body of Christ, you cannot tell us from the world system, our kingdom of God citizens. So we should actually be differently, We should be operating differently. We should be in seeing things different than the world system. So here say, and be not conformed. That means that I'm in the same shape as the world. It say, to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so only way it's going to happen is we have to have what God says about it. We have to have truth on it. We have to have light on it. And so when we have light on it, and the only way that's going to happen is God told us in Joshua, he said, and he told us this way. He said, this book of the law should not depart out of your eyes or out of your mouth, but you should meditate in them day and night, and then you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. So what am I doing? I'm taking the word of God, I'm putting it in my eyes, I'm putting it in my mouth, and I'm putting it in my heart. My spirit has been recreated, and as our apostle has been ministering to us, we're changing our mind. It's not for God. We're not meditating scriptures for God's sake so God can know what we know, but we're meditating so our mind can know what the word of God is saying. Turn to Psalm. I'm going to take this scripture and I'm going to match it right up to Joshua 1 and 8. You know, we can quote Joshua 1 and 8, but Psalm 1 and see what the scripture, how the scripture put it together here. Y'all don't mind if I just show y'all a little something. I'll show y'all. Just show it to you. And, you know, just point it out to you in the scripture. Here in Psalm 1, the word of God says, it's a blessed, empowered to prosper is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. There it is again. See, you know, about two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So the word is being established here. And what do you say? See, the book of the law, that means God's word. I'm going to take God's word. I don't know it initially, but I see it in the scriptures. I see it. I see God said he has promised me some things. He said every promise of God and yea is yea and amen to those who believe. I'm a believer. I came in the kingdom by believing a certain thing. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I say it in my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And so I came in the kingdom by believing those things. And so since I came in the kingdom by believing that, so now I have to take the word of God so that I can believe what he says in his word. I have to know. I have to take up my scripture, like Numbers 23 and 19, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie, the son of man that he should have to repent. If God said it, he's going to make it good. And so if we know he said it in his word, then we know that he himself is responsible for making it good. So we who are in this apostolic anointing have to get to a point that when we see God say something, we know that God himself is going to make it good. We're not responsible for making what God say is good. Our only thing is to believe what he said, and then God himself is going to manifest what he said in his word. It says, goes on to say, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's where he's getting all his nutrients from. The tree is getting, you know, he's sucking up whatever he needs to make that tree grow from by the rivers of water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Whatever you need, if you're doing this, bring forth whatever you need, whatever harvest you need. If you're standing there meditating that word, you're going to receive that which you're seeking God for. He said that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also should not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, that's the word of God. That's what God said. That's the word of God. See, David understood that. That's why God said, "Y'all, this is a man after my own heart." Why? Because he takes what I say, he believes what I say, and he acts on what I say, and he get manifestation just like it. That's what God, that's all God want to do. He want to work through you to bring the kingdom into the earth so he can get the glory out of it. God just wants the glory. And so, but he can work it through you. And, you know, and when the world see that through you, they're going to want that what you got. He goes on to say here, go back to some more pointers here in this lesson here. He says the church culture is founded up on the apostolic and prophetic anointing. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. You want to put a scripture there again? You put Ephesians 2 and 20 there. He said we must be able to contain what God is pouring out and be able to release it to the world around us. So we must be able to contain it and we must be able to release it. It's no good to have a container and you don't know how to get what's in the container out to release it into the world. And so we have to be able to know how to release what we are containing, what we're putting in our container and release it out to that world around us. We must maintain this culture that is appropriate for the mission with an expression of each of the other fivefold ministry graces described in Ephesians 4 and 11. So we know, you know, they call them gifts. We call them graces. Well, grace is a gift anyway. So we call them the fivefold ministry graces or the fivefold ministry gifts. We're talking about the apostle. We're talking about the prophet. We're talking about the pastor, teacher, and the evangelist. And so, but God said, I set up an order. There's a certain order. It's founded up on the apostolic and prophetic anointing, but the other fivefold graces have to come in under that. Turn to Acts right quick, and let's see something here. Acts chapter 2. Here in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to show you two scriptures again. Here in Acts chapter 2, and verse 42. This is after these apostles that went to this place, went to the upper room, and they had all got the Spirit of God up on them, and they began to seek God and found out something. He had put out his power upon them, and then Peter came in and ministered to them, but you can read through Acts chapter 2 and you can see what happened. Here in Acts 2 and 42, it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't say Jesus' doctrine because Jesus had laid the foundation. It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine because they was building up on what Jesus, the foundation, had laid. He had laid the foundation for them. And so now the apostles have received the power. They was left back here. Jesus left them back here to carry on the mission that he was sent to do. He showed them how to do it. He was the example on how you operate in this kingdom as a man, not as a God, but as a man. And the same thing is happening to us. We are being shown how to operate in the kingdom as men. And, you know, with the Spirit of God operating in us and through us. It says that they continue fast doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Characteristics of apostle, you must be seeing signs and wonders. Characteristics of apostolic government, you have to be seeing signs and wonders. Have to be manifesting. That's what Jesus walked through the earth and he was manifesting signs and wonders. When he walked up on a blind eye, that when he left that eye would see, because that was not part of the kingdom. In the kingdom, there are no sicknesses. There is no disease in the kingdom. And since there is no disease and sickness in the kingdom, you're a citizen of the kingdom. That should not be part of you. You should not be operating that way. Turn to Acts chapter 5. And 5 and 11, it says, and great fear came up on all the church and upon as many as heard these things, the church. We are a supernatural entity in a supernatural kingdom, the church, the body of Christ. We are supernatural. And we have to know that we should be operating supernatural. We should be breathing supernatural. We should be walking supernaturally. It said, and by the hands of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they was all with one accord on Solomon's Purse. So again, you have to see that in the apostolic government, in this apostolic government, there must be signs, there must be wonders, because we are operating. We saw in last week where it says, and no thing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. That's who is our Father. That's who we are serving. And so since we are serving that, it says nothing is impossible with God, then that should be nothing that is impossible to me, because he's my Father. And that's what Jesus felt when he was on earth, when he was walking the earth. He felt that nothing that enemy, that Satan could throw at him, that he could not overcome. And so we going to get to that point also. It goes on to say, let me give you a few more notes here. It said, because of each of these diverse anointings addresses an essential part of the identity and purpose of the church through their specific areas of focus and motivation. If you read the chapter in the book, you found out when they went up on this accident, each one of those gifts came up on the accident, and each one of them had a specific role. The author was sort of giving us an example of what each one of these graces, these gifts do. And you notice each one of them had, when they looked at it, same accident, but all of them saw something different in those accidents. Why? Because God had put a certain grace in them that they could see things from a different perspective. And so that's what happens. And so like the apostolic, the apostle, like the prophet, like the teachers, like the pastors, like the evangelists, all have different functions in the kingdom. But it all should be stemming from the funnel should be at the top, and it should be flowing through the apostle, down through the prophets, through the teachers, down through the pastors, evangelists. So all the gifts should be under an apostolic government, the way God set it up. And so that's why I wanted to show you those two scriptures in Acts, where, you know, when in the book of the Acts, if we understand it, we see the scripture, and we understand that book of Acts, the book of Acts should be still being written, because they did signs and wonders in the book of Acts. So we who are in the kingdom should be still doing those signs and wonders, because we are still, you know, the kingdom of God, and it's still in the earth realm, and it's being manifested here in the earth realm. That's why Jesus told his disciples again. I like that scripture in Matthew 6. He told him, when he told him how to pray, always pray. He said, always pray, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So same thing that's happening in earth should be happening in earth. We are in earth. We're not in heaven. So that means that we are still in our natural body, but we're spiritual beings that are operating in the earth like we was operating in heaven. That's awesome there. The priority order of the offices. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Let's go down. Let's look at the scripture again. We want to see the scripture. 1 Corinthians, you know, the first thing the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So if you're not ignorant, that means there's no darkness there. And that means that there, in that situation, there is light. So, you know, I've asked y'all to read that one time. So you should have, everybody should have at least read the chapter one time. So it goes on to say here, it says, and God, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God has set some in the church. And then he gives an order. He gives a flow of how this power, this anointing is going to flow. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He said, after that, the government has been set up. The government has been established. The apostolic government is in place. He said, after that, he says, miracles. See, that's important for us to understand. God's apostolic government is set up in place. And the next thing after the individuals, after the individuals come into the kingdom and begin to know, you should be begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles. See, you know, man didn't say this. God said this. God said, I said this in the church. See, we're the church. We're the body of Christ. And since we are the body of Christ, he said, this is what should be happening. I should have my apostles in place. I should have my prophets in place. I should have someone teaching the body of Christ so they can be perfected, so they can mature in the things of God, in the kingdom of God. And so then they can begin to operate. And see, the more signs and wonders you see, the more you're going to want to do. You know, you're going to want to do these signs. You're going to, you know, you're going to want to see. You're going to want to walk in the place, and you're going to see the enemy in the place, and he'll attack someone, and you're going to want to, you know, attack him. You want to do just like Jesus did when he was in the earth. He goes on to say, he says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings. He said helps. It's talked about governments and diversity of tongues. So I just wanted you to see that. So now what you're seeing here, here Paul clearly lays out an order of priority in this passage. And this order is related to the realms of the supernatural that correspond to each particular office. It's, you know, like I say, all these offices are supernatural offices. And so the order is in, it's like I said, it's not the realm of the natural, it's in the realm of the spirit. That's how the spirit realm operates. And so if we're going to operate, we're going to have to know that this is the way it operates. I got my apostles in place. I got my prophets in place. I got my teachers in place. Then I got my pastors and my evangelists in place. My pastors are going to shepherd the people after they've learned and developed and matured in the things of God. And the evangelist is going to keep ministering and bringing new people into the kingdom. Those are supernatural graces that God has put in. And so I'm going to give you these two pointers with these couple of minutes I got left. The anointings on the apostles and the prophets creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. That's the point that we have to be able to see. They're looking from heaven to earth. They're finding out what heaven. That's why they spent their time in prayer and in ministering other words, so they can find out what heaven want, what God want to bring here to the earth, what he want to bring and show his people. And if you notice that, you know, in the service that with having an apostle, we are in a awesome place. We who are here, and we can see an apostle in operation and see how he does things and how he ministers. This is how God sets it up. That's how he set it up. And that's how he wanted to operate. And the teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happened accurately. And the evangelists and the pastors are more focused on the people. So the apostles and the prophet is focused on heaven. The teacher is trying to describe and point out accurately what should be going on and bringing, teaching the people how you operate in the kingdom. And the evangelists and the pastors more focused on the people. And so those are the things that initially I want you to get. And as we continue on in this lesson, we're going to break down each one of those fivefold graces, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, and the teacher. We're going to show you all the characteristics of each one of them. We're going to show you examples in scripture, how they operate and how they do what they do. Exam is next week. Normally my exam comes from my quizzes. If you've seen the quizzes, they are PDF on all the pages. Go in, download the PDFs, study the quizzes, and everybody should make 100. It's that simple. Because on the quizzes are the ones we give to our online students, so we can check our attendance and that they have studied and looked at the notes, looked at the video. And so you can go in if some people have probably already did the quizzes. If you've done the quizzes, then you know what the exam is going to be. So I take the quizzes directly from the exam because I'm not trying to flunk anybody. I just want you to know the information. And that's my main point. Amen. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that your word have gone out in the anointing, Father God, that it may remove burdens and destroy yokes. We thank you, Father, that we're no longer hearers, but we are doers of your word. We give praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.